Now, this weekend, the much-anticipated Dance Rights competition is taking place at the Sydney Opera House. The competition showcases Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander culture through dance and language. Around 300 performers and 17 groups have travelled from across Australia to compete and share culture through dance. This morning, we are joined by Rhoda Roberts. She's the head of First Nations programming at the Sydney Opera House to talk about the fantastic Dance Rights. Rhoda, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
So tell us,
very exciting day.
It is a really, really exciting day. So tell us about what's going to happen today, about what Dance Rights is and how it started.
Well, Dance Rights is really working with communities across the country. And some of the dancers are actually revitalising their languages, the old ways that we did dance, almost pre-contact dance. And they come, as you mentioned, from around the country. We start with the heats this afternoon. So they do three heats over the weekend, two today and one tomorrow. And this evening, I'm really excited that at 5:30 we have what we call our gathering, which is artists that we also have in Dance Rights from across the world and indeed the country, where we put on a small opening event.
Fantastic. This is going to be so much fun. One of our producers has been every year for the last kind of few years and loves going. What's the significance of holding Dance Rights at the Sydney Opera House forecourt?
Well, who wouldn't want to dance at the Opera House?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Look, I think, one, it's quite extraordinary to see the diversity. We're all First Nations, but there's this incredible diversity of the dance, the costumes, the language, the song. And we're very committed at the Opera House, but it's the incredible visibility that people see, that culture is alive. We have adapted along the way, but it's now thriving. It's almost like there's a groundswell across particularly our young people of, you know, revitalising some of the old ways, and particularly some of the old ways that were actually banned over the years during previous legislations. So I think when we see a lot of the old aunties or grandmothers or uncles, and they're watching their grandchildren perform what they would have done in their youth and thought was never possible because they couldn't, it is quite emotional as well.
I can imagine it would be extremely emotional and a lot of different emotions there.
Very much different emotions, but one, incredible pride.
Absolutely.
And, you know, last year a group from Warrabinda won, and Warrabinda is a small community outside Rockhampton, and like many communities, many issues and, you know, intergenerational trauma and all the rest, and to see these young men and women win the heats and how their community reacted and how empowered they were. And since they've won, they've actually been performing around the country.
Oh,
they
wow.
performed at the Commonwealth Games. And but it's the story that's coming out of that community.
Mm.
And we often used to hear or see the statistics, which are the usual statistics that everyone sees and hears about Aboriginal communities. But the statistic I like to quote is that after this group of dancers got together and do regular rehearsals on country, in their community, 82% of the crime rate has reduced.
Wow.
And that's enormous. So we're just a tiny particle that could be the solution to some of the issues. And I think when people have their language and they have their dance and they have their story of country, you can't take that away. And it does empower. And the more confidence we see in our communities, the happier a community. And so it has long-term effects, I think. And you know, having a group from Tasmania this year is incredibly exciting.
Mm.
Because Tasmania has done these extraordinary works over the last decade with their language revitalisation. And I really can't wait to see what they're doing because, you know, that they had to prove they actually existed because there was the myth that Truganini, you know, was the last Tasmanian, which we know is not true. So that's quite exciting. And I think when we look at the program that we also hold beside the heat, so when they go off to get change their costumes for the next dance, we have a group called Indigenous Enterprise from Canada. And they were very much the imagery you saw of dancers coming out of Standing Rock. And we're just absolutely thrilled that they're coming to join us. We've got an amazing Māori group, Te Rua Māori, and we've got professional performers such as Mugara from Australia. And so when you combine those professional groups who do make a living out of ensuring their culture is celebrated, and then when you see a young group who are just starting out, you can see you can see in their eyes where they can see the vision. It's amazing. Probably didn't even explain that very well.
No, you absolutely did. You did beautifully, because when you see people who dedicate so much of their lives and their time to professionally, you know, celebrating culture and sharing culture with the rest of the world, and then see them, I guess, inspired by more amateur groups who are just doing it for the love of doing it, then it's a really beautiful thing. Now, you mentioned there's some costume changes and the inclusion of language in the performances over the next couple of days. So what exactly does each group need to do to compete in the competition?
Well, the criteria is looking at how they've revitalised or continue pre-contact performance, corroboree, whatever we want to call it. So each group has to do an arrival or welcome dance and a farewell or goodbye dance. And those dancers need to have song men and languages and, you know, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And we look at the way they're performing, because everywhere across the country, people have different steps, and often depending on the environment they're in. And we look at the skin markings, which is really, you know, part of that old kinship system that many groups still, most Aboriginal people in the country operate under a kinship system. But it's making it alive. And so it's the body markings are really important, because that tells us where they're from. And, of course, there is that engagement with the audience. And one of the most important ones, actually, we've got a new prize this year. We've added a new prize, and we've called it the Rites of Passage. And basically, it's really about that intergenerational exchange. So it's where, in our communities across the country, our senior custodians or elders hold such knowledge. And when we see that that has occurred, that that intergenerational exchange has occurred, be it with the knowledge of their song, of their costumes, reinvigorating the craft and making the spears, the woomeras, the shields, with the weaving of the skirts and all sorts of things. So that all comes into play. So it's quite a tough criteria.
Goodness
actually.
Great. It's a very involved criteria, which is fantastic, because I can't wait to see how people kind of rise to fulfilling that criteria and how they interpret the criteria as well. It is a really, truly beautiful event, and we can't wait to see how it unfolds over the next couple of days. I'm sure you have a million and four things to do this morning, Rhoda, so we'll let you go. But thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much, Jess, and thank you to all your listeners. And if they get a chance, do come on down. And, of course, we have Extraordinary Electric Fields Group playing this afternoon, this evening.
Yes.
So that's worth a look. And tomorrow our music program includes Anishinaabe man Leonard Sumner all the way from Canada and members of the Ocha band from Australia. So it's really worth coming down. There's more than just the dance.
Oh, absolutely. Rhoda, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
That was Rhoda Roberts. She's the head of First Nations programming at the Sydney Opera House, talking about the Dance Rites competition. The event runs this weekend. It is free. Starts at 2:30 at the Sydney Opera House forecourt this afternoon. Phenomenal program. Jump online, check it out, and get on down there. It's going to be amazing, beautiful to sit and watch, and a really beautiful celebration of First Nations culture as well there.